Welcome to Thriving, a podcast about being in the weeds of work, family, and life. What it looks like when you're in the middle. Hosted by Christine Kelly Stark, founder of Dashing Social Media and Dashing Trappings. This podcast hopes to unpack the good, the bad, and the crazy of life.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Thriving Podcast. I sure do appreciate you all for listening. Today is special. Jennifer Baker is my guest. She is co-owner with her husband Patrick of Pesca Muerta, a lifestyle brand that focuses on fishing and live music. She's also an avid volunteer and shows how she's weaved a really interesting life. I can't wait for you guys to hear this, so without further ado, listen to Jennifer Baker.
A little bit about myself. I grew up in Salisbury, North Carolina, which is a small town about 45 minutes outside of Winston. I graduated from Salisbury High and then went to Carolina for my undergrad. After school, I moved up to DC for a few years, worked up there, and ultimately started missing North Carolina, and also the traffic. It's just so bad at DC.
That's funny.
So I came back to North Carolina.
Yeah.
I got my master's degree from UNC Greensboro.
Right.
I have lived in Winston for 10 years now.
Wow. Like a blink of an eye.
Yep. And I think I moved to Winston at a great time from what other people have said. It was sort of the kind of resurgence of the downtown. Yeah. You know, a lot of openings of restaurants and businesses. I feel like kind of about the time I moved here, I've gotten to kind of reap the benefits of all of that. The growth of the arts district and, you know, all these things, just all these great things have kind of
absolutely. Great.
So I joke with my husband that, you know, you're really gonna have to pry me out of Winston at this point, you know. And he's like, yes, we know. But yeah, so I'm married. My husband is Patrick. Mm-hmm. We have two daughters.
Yeah.
That are 7 and 4.
Awesome.
And my husband and I own a lifestyle apparel brand.
That's right.
Together. So that is sort of what we are doing now.
Yeah. Which is exciting.
Yes, it is. Yeah, do you want me to...
Yeah, because it hasn't been that long. I mean, like, I think there's probably some people who may be like, I know Jennifer from either the Junior League, or they know you from the carpool line, or they know you because you and Patrick do take in a lot of, like, live music. And they're like, whoa, wait a second. I didn't know that she owned, or she was a co-owner with Pesca, with Patrick.
Sure. Right. Yeah, so a little bit about that. So the name of the company is Pesca Muerta. Mm-hmm. Which is it's translated from Spanish, kind of literally translates to fishing dead.
Yes.
So, but, you know, we basically refer to it as pesca.
Yeah.
For the most part. But it is, it appeals to a group of people who enjoy fishing, but also a lot of outdoor activities. We sell performance sun shirts, hats, some accessories, but kind of the other kind of part of that, the tagline is sort of good tunes, good times, tight lines. So the tight lines is sort of the fishing, but it's really kind of revolves around a lot around live music.
Yeah.
Kind of a lifestyle of getting to, you know, not, you know, and that was one thing, you know, my husband and I kind of had in common when we met and started dating was kind of a, you know, an appreciation for live music, going
right
to festivals and concerts, supporting, you know, local music venues and musicians. It's just, you know, kind of, I guess that's sort of the lifestyle part of
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
But the, so we acquired the business a little over a year ago.
Okay.
From a friend of ours who had started the business and was doing really well with it, but was kind of ready to take on a new kind of venture, new path.
Sure.
So we kind of my background and Patrick's kind of came together and thought, okay, well, should we kind of jump into this?
Yeah, y'all did.
And we did. Yeah.
It was awesome.
And we worked together. Great.
I love that. I wish y'all could see her smile on her face when she said that. That was awesome. That
I
was
mean,
awesome.
Yes. Some days a little smoother than others.
Well, sure. I mean, like, we're all seeing a lot of our family members right now. So it's got to be definitely a challenge in its own right to, to not, like, you know, at least, you know, go anywhere, and y'all are, you know, doing this business together. So I can only imagine it's got to be an interesting ride for sure. So, okay, well, like, you've given us a quick bio. So tell me, Jennifer, who were you going to be in third grade?
So when I was in third grade, I was sewing my own clothes.
I love that about you.
I learned to sew when I was about six.
Wow.
I got behind a sewing machine and started making apparel. Now, when I say I was making clothes in third grade, I mean, like, culottes, matching vest.
That, oh my God, are there pictures of this? Please tell me there's pictures of this.
I'm sure there are, but I do not want them to surface. Yeah, it was the 90s.
It's fantastic.
Early 90s, and I was rocking the culottes and the matching vest out of crazy print.
Perfect.
Fabrics. I wanted to do something. I knew I was making things.
Yeah.
And I knew I had, like, an interest in apparel in third grade.
Super fascinating.
Yes. And then I kind of put it on the as I got to middle school.
Yeah.
I kind of stopped sewing as much. I was, you know, more into sports,
sure,
and
middle school
friends
things.
And
yeah,
and that kind of, you know, moved on to college, and but I always had that skill and that interest.
A true maker. I mean, like, and we can get into more about, I mean, you make on a regular basis.
I do. I find that that is sort of, I need that creative space in my life, and I really enjoy kind of when you have something but it's not what you need it to be,
yeah,
kind of being able to make it into what you need it to be. So I've often, you know, as a child, I had long legs and I couldn't find pants long enough.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, so I would, you know, kind of, I mean, you know, necessity is the mother of all invention, kind of.
That's
thing.
Right.
Yeah, so it's always been something that's, like, interested me, but I didn't really know how to kind of...
Sure, parlay that into something.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well then, I mean, senior college, Jennifer, I've got to imagine Chapel Hill, you were living your best life. Like, what is happening? Who did you think you were going to be?
Those were the days, you know. Those were definitely the days.
For sure.
So I ended up doing, got interested in psychology.
Okay.
So I have a degree in psychology. My senior year, I started working at a research lab, like social psychology research lab.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The Frank Porter Graham Research Institute. I really enjoyed that. I actually was that student who, I liked statistics class. I liked taking data, kind of running it through and seeing, how things kind of, you know, can you prove that it worked or it didn't work? Or
fascinating. Oh my gosh, this brings so much. Okay, I'm sorry, we're gonna have to time out here because like, okay, this is so fascinating. One, I know your mom's a maker and I know your dad's an accountant. So really and truly, you have both sides of the brain. I mean, really and truly, you are like, we're having full circle. Like, I mean, my head is just psh, psh, at this point. And then second, what number are you in the Enneagram?
I am a number 6.
You are. So you're analytical. I mean, like your analytical part. Holy Toledo, Jennifer Baker.
I mean, I, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I have this part of me that wants to create things, and I have this part of me that is very practical and analytical and like, do the numbers add up? You know, let's make them work. And that actually is something that I don't know if many people realize that when you sew, when you make anything, apparel, a quilt, anything, there is a lot of math involved.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there is the fun side of picking colors and seeing how things fit together. But there is a lot of that math involved, you know, making things match up properly. So yes, I think that part of it, I do have kind of like both sides of that. And I like to kind of, yeah. And then, yeah, you mentioned the Enneagram number 6.
Oh my gosh.
You know, you and I have talked a lot about the Enneagram. We find it very fascinating. I think it's a great self-discovery tool. Yes. It's helped me kind of, you know,
yes,
make sense of myself. I also use it often on other people, whether or not they want to talk about the Enneagram, I will be bringing it up with them, you know, and yeah, that's, but that is that, I'm very fascinated in the psychology.
Well, that's what I was really thinking to myself, is because you and I have had so many conversations about, I, you know, I'm right there with you, the benefits of the Enneagram and the fact that you were really studying psychology so long ago. You were a maker, I mean, your whole life. I mean, it makes so much sense knowing you and then knowing the multifacets of you, like coming all together. I mean, I did not know you were a psychology major. I'm sure you had told me before that you were a psychology major. But like, anyway, sorry. It was just a mind-blowing little moment there for me. Thank you, listeners, for going down that train with me.
Well, and then I think when I went and got my master's, which was at UNC Greensboro, in consumer apparel retail studies.
Unbelievable.
That really kind of was when I kind of put everything together. I realized what I was really interested in was consumer behavior.
Sure, right.
You know, kind of what makes people do what they do and why. And then being able to, you know, collect the data to kind of prove.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed when I went to UNC Greensboro, I was able to audit apparel making classes, pattern making, drafting, draping. I was really able to kind of do that hands-on side of it, as well as, you know, study the, you know, the impact that the textile market in North Carolina has had over the past 30 years.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Those major changes that have happened, or, you know, the supply chain management. You know, one of the classes I loved the most was following a t-shirt from, you know, the cotton being grown in Texas to, you know, into yarn, into fabric, into final production. And then where does clothing go when it's done being worn? Mm-hmm. You know, where does that go? Those implications. Anyway, sorry. Now I'm kind of going down a rabbit hole.
No, I like it. I really have found that my best podcasts, that people relate the most to, is when we go down rabbit holes. Like, I mean, because I think people are like, oh my God, me too. Like, you know, like, I mean, like, and plus I think one theme is like when we are as women thriving in our business careers or in our lives in general, it's because we've gone down these journeys and there's no one like, no one goes down a straight road. There are lots of twists and turns. And I think that's just the reality of it all, right? No one, or I don't know anyone that in third grade was like, I'm going to be X. And then senior year, they're going to be like, no, really, I'm going to be X. And then now they're like, yep, I'm X. I mean, there's like a path, right, you know, between even people that were, that knew from a young age they wanted to be doctors. There's like an interesting path how they got there. You know what I mean? So it is interesting.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes looking back and evaluating to even realize how everything you've done has gotten you to that point.
Sure.
You know, sometimes it is just, it feels like you worked for one thing and then something else happened. And then you realize, well, gosh, I'm glad that,
yes, yeah,
you know, didn't happen. Or now I can see why.
For sure.
X happened.
For sure. Yeah. Okay. So then I have decided that we are not going to ask what a normal day looks like right now, because none of us are living in the normal.
Normal is, yeah, so far the day to day right now.
Absolutely. Yeah,
this is not normal.
No, this is not normal. We are not normal right now.
We are not normal.
So tell me the best part of your job.
I love my job right now. You know, running this, you know, I mean, small. And when I say small, I mean, we are a niche, you know, company. Mm-hmm. So we kind of do all of it, you know.
Yeah.
But I love mostly, you know, having happy customers.
Sure. Yes.
A customer, you know, receiving a hat or a t-shirt, you know, that we have sent to them, and getting a good review,
yeah,
online, or getting engagement on social media. You know, that is sort of, I think, the best part of it. You know, trying to, you know, seeing something kind of from the beginning, you know, stages of development, you know, into the actual product, and then into, you know, getting a picture of someone, you know, fishing in our hat, you know,
right,
someone catches a fish with our hat, you
which
know,
are they so have, like, cool when they send those in, and then,
oh my gosh, it's the best.
That's awesome. So cool.
Yeah. So that's definitely, I mean, I've enjoyed a lot of parts of doing the apparel,
sure,
lifestyle brand. Yeah.
What is the worst part?
So I think the worst part is the unpredictability in when you're selling something. You know,
yeah,
having the right inventory. You know, sometimes I think, oh, this color is going to go,
sure,
it's going to be great, and I think, you know, everyone's going to love it, and then maybe that's not the case. Or, you know, you something does sell really well, and then you go to kind of restock it, and we can't get it the same way,
yes,
you know, that we got it before. That has been a struggle with the pandemic.
Sure.
You know, everyone is sort of facing different challenges on their supply chain.
Yeah.
And we are, you know, also facing that. So we can't get what we want in some ways, and then sometimes we can. And so just trying to balance.
Absolutely.
All,
yes,
of that.
Yes. I can't get a certain size box right now in stock. So, like, you should have seen me. I was sending two pillows out yesterday, and I'm like, all right, I just got to make this work. And, like, it took everything I had inside of me to make it work. But, no, it's, yeah, true. It's really true. And I will say, and I'm just going to take a wild guess, that most of your consumers are pretty grateful that you're getting something out to them at this point in time.
Sure. Yes. We have had, certainly had delays.
Of course.
And, you know, we just try to communicate that. You know, nowadays it is very easy to track shipping. You know, I saw a,
yes,
meme the other day, someone was like, my hobby is tracking my shipment. You know,
yes.
Like, I, yes, got home, you know, waiting for my shipment, mm-hmm, and I can see what it is. But we've had, you know, issues where, like, huge distribution centers where, you know, mail comes in and then it's supposed to be just, you know, disseminated out to the homes, and it's 3 or 4 day delays where,
yeah,
you know, just can't get,
yeah,
and, you know, and you just have to kind of, you know, reflect, you know, say to your customers, like, look, we're working on it. We're trying, you know, we're doing the best we can. We hope that you know, and for the most, I think everyone has been very,
yeah,
understanding,
yeah, yeah,
of that. It just is kind of another part of what we're all sort of dealing with. But we are lucky that we or I don't say we are lucky, but we don't have a brick and mortar store.
Right.
So that is something that we haven't had to deal with, but we do have a lot of retailers who carry our items.
Right.
And so we have tried to, you know, use our, you know, our followers, to kind of on Instagram, on social media, just to kind of, you know, encourage the people, the retailers that carry our things. You can try to, you know, put those together and encourage people to shop local to,
yeah.
You know, to everyone kind of support each other.
Absolutely. Well, I think that y'all, I mean, like, that's awesome that y'all are doing that. And yeah, I think we're all trying to be patient with one another, I feel like, right now.
Yes. Yes. And it can look different.
For sure. For sure. Okay. So then what do you have a mentor? And to follow that with, if you have a mentor, what is the best and worst advice you've ever gotten?
Ooh, so I wouldn't say I have one mentor, but I think I have many.
Fair. Totally fair.
I think at different points in my life, I think I'm always kind of learning from someone who is maybe a little more experienced than me, or who maybe is where I'm kind of striving to be. And I find that to be extremely helpful.
Sure.
You know, I value being able to ask questions and get advice from people. My sister is a pediatric nurse practitioner. Mm-hmm. So after I had children, I have used her tremendously,
sure.
You know, to like advice, yeah. On, you know, why does this look like this? what is happening? You know, I would say, you know, she is a sounding board, you know, for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I pay a lot of attention to sort of who, and ask a lot of questions. I think, you know, I'm always sort of seeking advice from people. But that being said, you know, that's a hard one. What is the best advice?
And maybe, you know, I mean, like I said, sometimes we don't know what those answers are going to be.
Yeah. I think maybe the best advice though would be that, you know, growing up, I was the oldest of four kids. Mm-hmm. My mom was very creative, was always doing projects and things like that. We had a very kind of chaotic, but, you know, enjoyable household. And, you know, my brothers would be breaking things. My sister and I would be fighting over clothes. And my dad was just so even keel. And he would just say, this too shall pass.
God bless him. God,
you know, we were having an emergency every day, or, you know, and when I say that, and I think I kind of actually that, you know, I tend to be a little more like alarmist about things, like, oh gosh, what are, you know, and so I think maybe I have to check in with myself and sort of be like, you know, this too shall pass.
You're very reflective. I mean, like, especially right now. Look at you. Go, girl, go.
Well, you know, I mean, what are we? Week 9?
I don't look at it that way because it stresses me out. Like, I remember someone being like, well, we'll be through this, you know, we'll be here at least through Easter. And it was, like, before Easter. And I was like, I'm sorry. Like, you can't talk to me in that length of a time. Like, I need to know day by day or week by week.
Yeah. I mean, it, at this point, you know, we are kind of, I don't know that anybody is like feeling like, oh, I'm good here.
Right.
You know, this isn't a good feeling.
Yeah.
But yeah, the highs and the lows and the ups and the downs of all of this. I mean, it just, I think I've had to say to myself probably 10 times a day, every day, this too shall pass, you know, try to like put things into perspective. But it's been challenging. I mean, having kids at home and trying to teach them, you know, trying to manage everything else that you were already doing, and then to have your kids, you know, ask questions and not understand, you know,
it's hard as hell.
Challenging times on all mothers, on all parents.
For sure. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think parents of small children have a hell of a lot harder of a job, or have had a hell of a lot harder of a job, than parents of older kids, where, I mean, I don't see, like, you know, I don't see Nelson, you know, for large segments of the day because he's doing schoolwork. So hats off to all the parents of elementary school age and younger parents, because I don't know how y'all have done it. I mean, even Rand, he's in fifth grade. I mean, like, you know, he's got a schedule. So hats off to all of y'all, because I think you and Patrick own a business, which you are still, you know, you are doing. It is thriving. Y'all are doing great. And then you're also supposed to educate your children help educate your children the same way. It's a lot. It's totally a lot. That leads me into my next question, though. What makes you whole? Like, this is hard. This is hard times. And I do think that a lot of us are looking to, okay, what's going to bring me joy? What makes me whole? Who am I when I'm not amongst this craziness?
Right. Yeah. I think people are reflecting on that. Like, you know, what do you miss the most? What will you put back in your life?
Exactly. Great way to put it.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. And I think the most positive moments I have, which are, you know, every now and then, are like, you know, what has been kind of taken away that maybe I don't miss so much, you know, but then what will I sort of put back? What makes me, what makes me whole? You know, I feel very comfortable behind a sewing machine. Mm-hmm. I enjoy just kind of that creative process. I mean, for me, it's fabric, but just kind of making things. I, you know, sometimes make things that are probably not attractive or, you know, or even useful, but like sometimes it's just sort of, that's where I kind of check out. I kind of don't worry about things. I'm in my space where I'm sewing. I also have a group of women that, you know, pre-pandemic, we would get together once a month and sew in an evening, you know, get together in the evening. And these are, you know, women who are in different careers, different phases in their life. You know, but we all can kind of appreciate the, you know, each other and what we're doing, and just sort of support. It's a very positive influence, you know, to be sort of making something, you know, there's really no competition to it. Yes. You're just kind of doing your own thing, you know, kind of, and then seeing what other people are doing. So, that is a great kind of outlet for me.
I think that's fascinating because I'm not a maker. I can't make anything. But I mean, like, I know you get together with your group of friends and y'all do that. And I think how supportive and how it's got to be so fulfilling to see something accomplished. Even a vest and culottes matching, nonetheless, have to be amazing.
Oh yeah, I rocked those cool eyes, you know. And then, you know, the other part of, I think, that makes me whole is getting to spend time at the beach. Me, the ocean, you know, cures all things. The sound of the ocean, the perspective, you know, of getting there, or, you know, kind of like seeing, that's my happy place. I really value getting to, like, be near the beach.
Yeah, girl. I feel you on that. I totally feel you on that. Okay, so then what, like, we've got a good glimpse into your life, but what do people need to know about you, Jennifer Baker, that maybe your LinkedIn doesn't tell us and we probably wouldn't know it yet? I mean, you're a pretty open book, but what is something that people really need to know about you?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think in a way that maybe my Enneagram number kind of explains it. So as a six, I am the loyal skeptic.
Yeah.
I can be a little wary of things in the beginning.
Sure.
I have to, I can kind of be like, mm-mm, I get something, like, I don't know about that. I don't trust it. I don't know, you know, I don't feel particularly, you know, very open. But once I kind of, you know, do let something in, I can be very, very committed to it. Mm-hmm. You know, usually if I get involved in something, I am not halfway involved. It's 100%.
Yes.
You know, to the point of, you know, I consider myself to be a pretty dependable person.
You are.
So, you know, if I have said that I will do something, well, you know,
you're going to do it.
Yeah. I will do it. Yeah. I can be a little bossy.
You're not bossy. You're assertive. You're a leader.
I can be a little assertive.
Yeah.
And I think that it can turn people off sometimes. You know, I don't have the most warm and fuzzy feeling kind of coming, you know, there's that t-shirt that has the cactus and it says not a hugger, you know, like more than one friend has like sent me that and like, oh my gosh, you need that. You know, like, cause I'm kind of like, you know, oh, kind of a little cold exterior, but then, you know, yeah. Which actually that kind of brings me, I was thinking something about t-shirts, you know, yeah. Kind of the importance of like a t-shirt. This is totally down a rabbit's hole, but
I was
reading an article the other day about how before social media, you know, before you posted, the way you would tell people what you've done or where you've been was a t-shirt. You would go somewhere, you would use something, you would buy the t-shirt.
Yes.
You know, you would come home with the t-shirt and then you would wear it. And that's how you would tell people what you were, who you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, now, like, how different it is now, we have, you know, social media. Mm-hmm. And that's how we tell people what we're doing, where we've been.
Yeah.
But, the role of the t-shirt, I was like, that is so, like, true, you know?
So
like,
true, yes.
But, so I think my t-shirt might be the cactus that says, not a hugger.
My God, I'm totally going to make you hug me next time. It's, like, socially appropriate.
Yeah, I know. I will say that the one part of the social distancing, I'm like, I'm cool. Like, I never really...
Never wanted you to hug me anyway. Had to pretend I liked to hug you off.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my God. Yes. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Okay. Well, then, what does success look like to you? Like, and what does success look for you net right now? And where do you see yourself 20 years from now?
Oh, gosh. Success, you know. My daughter is in first grade and their elementary school has been focusing on the seven habits of successful people.
Oh, you know? Yeah. There's something like
and
that.
And it's interesting because I'm not really sure. I mean, as a first grader,
right.
They're trying to tell you to put the first things first, you know,
sure.
Prioritize, you know, but, I definitely feel like these lessons are like a lot for the parents.
You know, like first grade teachers are subliminally like right, telling y'all. Yeah.
But so we've been going over this, but for me, success, you know, especially with young children and being pulled in different directions, an expression that I like to use are, you know, keeping the wheels on.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, the wheels falling off. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes, I mean, success is just, it's attempting to keep the wheels on, you know, making it to the end of the day and everyone is fed, yes. You know, trying to keep everyone safe 110%. And healthy and happy.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes you get 2 out of 3.
Sometimes, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah. 2 out of 3 is sort of the goal, I think, these days.
For sure.
You know, 3 out of 3, you know, is I guess what I would consider success. But to look 20 years down the road, I mean.
I know. It's a big question.
It's a big question. You know, I mean, I would hope that my daughters will be in their mid-20s.
Yeah.
Early to mid-20s. So to see them kind of beginning their careers, you know, maybe completing their education.
Sure.
You know, to see them as productive, you know, adults, I think that would be, I think, you know, I think that that would be my greatest mission.
Listen, I often say, like, if I can just get those boys to the finish line and y'all become productive, when y'all are not on the payroll anymore, I will feel like I have done something right.
Right.
So yeah. I get that. I totally get that.
I had a coworker once say about her, about early 20s children, she's like, just trying to get them employed and insured.
God, that is the truth. Employed and insured. I like that, and I'll probably start using that tomorrow.
Yeah. And then, I think in 20 years, you know, maybe I'll just kind of spend more time at the beach.
Love that about you. Yeah.
I think that would be where I would like to be. Maybe going fly fishing,
Yes.
To hear more live music, all the things that sort of seem a little, a little far away right now, but.
Absolutely. Well, before, I'm going to ask you about, volunteering and about, cause one of the main ways that I know you, I feel like we've been connected in lots of ways, but one of the ways is that you are, when you commit to something, you really do. It's true. When you said that, it rang true to me because you are such a great volunteer for the Junior League of Winston-Salem. And so I guess, will you give the listeners some ideas about why volunteering is important to you? Because you are busy. You have two young girls. You have this business. I mean, big family. Like, you have a lot of stuff going on. So why commit the time to volunteering?
Sure. I think, volunteering is so important. To me, gosh, how do I put this into words? No one kind of comes through life on their own. Everyone's had people to help them and to influence them and to kind of guide them. And, I think that that is sort of what the role of volunteering is so important in shaping who you become, who you are, to see other. It's a great opportunity to give back, to kind of to show that you are grateful for what you have been given, and to use your talents to show something else. I mean, yes, we have to make a living.
Yes.
But here's an opportunity to kind of show, I think there's a lot of creativity in volunteerism. It is a way of kind of taking an issue, a problem, something, and kind of being able to turn it into something greater. When I strongly believe in the mission of the Junior League, and supporting the development of women, the potential of women in all aspects. And I've learned so many things, and met so many amazing women that otherwise maybe I wouldn't have.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely.
And some of it, is, taking, I probably take for granted all the things that I have learned through volunteerism, because you're kind of gives you that chance to try something, you kind of put yourself out there, but you're supported through a network,
right?
And that can be extremely gratifying,
110%. Yes.
Just to be a part of, I have done so many different projects in the Junior League, but to do Bookworm and to have books donated, yes. Into, families that otherwise don't really have access to them, and especially bilingual books, that's just been such a neat thing for me to get to do.
Time out, because I want to make sure everyone understands what Bookworm is. So will you give a brief, little snippet of what Bookworm is?
Sure. Yeah. So Bookworm stands for, the worm is Winston on a reading mission.
That's right.
And it is basically, the statistics show that reading by third grade, reading at third grade can be a huge marker in the success going forward.
That's right.
If you have achieved, the ability to, an interest, in reading, love of reading by third grade, it just can catapult you to success later on. So, you know, getting the whole mission behind Bookworm is getting books into those kids' hands. I mean, you know, I've got a first grader, so learning to read is a huge, and learning to love to read.
That's right.
That is a gift that everyone, I mean, deserves. And, but yeah, I mean, thousands and thousands of books. We've been able to raise money for books.
That's right.
New books. But also, I mean, books are one of those wonderful things that you don't really, I mean, you grow out of them, but they're still good. You know,
yes.
Like.
Yes. So you can give them, to others.
Yes. I think that's why I had, a particular kind of interest. And yeah, there's no reason for them to sit or to go away, you know, like it can certainly be passed on.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No, that's great. And I think that Bookworm is one of those programs. Actually, so you chaired it. And Lauren Desai, who was on the podcast, she was the first chair of it.
Yes.
And what I love is how the program, even just a short amount of time from when she chaired it to you chaired it, how it's grown and evolved and really, you know, continues to fit the need of our city. Because unfortunately, Winston-Salem Forsyth County, our children's literacy rate is not where it should be. And I believe, and they say, if you can just get a book, an age appropriate book in the hands of kids, you can make a difference. And I believe in my heart of hearts that the Junior League is doing that. So kudos to you for doing that, for taking the lead with that for a year. I think that's one gift the Junior League gives to women throughout the country and the world, depending on how you look at it, is you get a chance to lead and do something meaningful in your life. And I think that you have definitely, you've taken the chance, you've put yourself out there, and you, kudos to you, Jennifer, because you have helped create the change that our kids need for better literacy in our city.
Well, yeah, it really is a great program that I feel very passionate about. And yeah, like you said, Lauren, I served on her committee, you know, when she started the program. And I'm just a huge supporter of it. Awesome. Yeah, and the mission that it serves. Yeah.
Okay, Ms. Baker. Is there anything else about volunteering that we should know?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's just such an important. It's been an important part of my life.
Fair.
I think it's great. I think that you have, as a past president of the Junior League, you know, you've been very supportive of me coming through, you know, and kind of encouraging me to like keep at it when it can seem a little challenging at first, you know, but the benefits are so great. And so, yeah, I encourage anyone to
you're nice.
Get out there and try.
Look at you. Yes, 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 yes. Get out there and try. I think that's a great thing to leave people with, because I think if we don't try, we don't know. And I believe that you have to try and look at the difference you can make. Okay, this is the time to make your shameless plug for PESCA. What should people know about it? What should people know it's on the horizon? What's good and what's happening?
So we've got new products that kind of have been rolling in. We've gotten a couple new belts lately that have.
It's a great Father's Day gift, folks.
They are. Yeah. A canvas with a embroidered logo on it.
Ooh, fancy.
You know, we have 8 different fish. You know, I've learned so much about fish lately. I knew about the apparel, you know, side of it.
Sure.
But now I've learned so much more about fishing. But yeah, we do have a lot of great Father's Day kind of type things. Our shirts are great for summer because they're like that UPF 50, you know, kind of protect you from the sun.
Awesome.
Even though this summer may look a little different for people.
Sure.
We've got some cool stuff. Yeah, check it out, our website. PESCAMuerta.com.
Perfect. They should all check it out. Everyone needs a good Father's Day gift from there. And as you were saying, this summer is going to look different. So we're all going to be more with our kids and such since camps are canceled. So you do need the
Get outdoors.
Yeah, get outdoors.
Yeah.
PESCA can help you.
It may be the only thing that keeps us sane.
110%. Well, Jennifer, 110%. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. When we talked about it initially, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time, taking the time to do it, because you are very, very busy.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I hope that I've listened to other women on this and I've been so inspired by them that I never really considered myself to be that interesting.
You are interesting. Oh, my gosh. This is such an interesting podcast. I can't wait to hear what our friends think. Because I learned so much, and I say that like in the best way possible, because I learned so much about you, and I would have told you, and I say this all the time, I always think I know about people, and then when I just shut my yabber and listen, I learned so much. It's such the gift of like shutting your mouth is a beautiful thing.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, we really are all the women you've had on this have been so interesting, and I've learned so much about them too. So
awesome.
Well, I think it's great. Yeah. I really appreciate the opportunity to kind of get to yak about myself.
Thank you for doing it. Okay, well, thank you so much, Jennifer. And y'all, please listen to the Thriving Podcast and remember to subscribe, to like, and to also please share it. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Thriving Podcast. Please remember to rate, review, and share this podcast. You can get the Thriving Podcast wherever you download your podcasts. Take care.